Amen. Take your Bibles and let's turn to Romans chapter 3 for a few moments before we take the Lord's Supper this morning, breaking up the bread and taking the cup together as an ordinance that we practice along with baptism. I shared a message a few weeks ago using three of these verses, and this morning I wanted to share verses 20, 21, 22, sharing about the righteousness of Christ who lifts us up. And when you think about the book of Romans and how Paul directed his thoughts, and as he was directed by the Holy Spirit to write this book, it has a lot of good information concerning the way that Christians should live their lives, and righteousness is by faith. So we're justified by faith. And in verse 20, look with me, Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 20, which says, "Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction." And when Paul is saying there is no distinction, he said all is included. Whether you're Jew, Gentile, whoever you are, you're included. And when you think about the righteousness and you know, God could have sent anyone to this earth, couldn't he? But he chose his own son. You know, if our greatest need had been information, he would have sent us an educator, wouldn't he? If our greatest need had been technology, he would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, then he would send an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, he would send us an entertainer. But guess what? Our greatest need was what? Salvation. So he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who taught us what righteousness is all about. So, have you ever stopped to consider some of the ways that Christ lifts up the willing heart with his righteousness? I want to share just a few things here this morning. And I want to go back to verse 20 and look at it just for a moment. Because it says, no person will be justified. No person will be justified. Now, what does that mean? I believe it means made righteous, are acquitted and judged acceptable. So we can only be justified or accepted through Jesus Christ, who is righteous. And we become righteous through him as we know him as our personal Savior. And it says, in his sight, by observing the works prescribed by the law. So the real function of the law is to make men recognize and be conscious of sin. And that's why Paul says in Romans 3:23, there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, when a person tries to gain acceptance through their own efforts, they fail every time. You ever notice that? If you ever try to gain it by yourself, will fail every time. Instead of practicing a righteousness of our own, the Scripture says that Christ becomes for us the righteousness of God in us. So as each day, as we allow God to live through us, see, we demonstrate the righteousness of Christ in our daily walk with Him. Now, the Scripture says that He lifts us up by enduring us with righteousness, with holiness, and truth. And see, when we gain the right relationship with Him and with others because of our right relationship with Him, then the righteousness of Christ lives through us. Paul also, he teaches a distinctive righteousness that comes from above and not from natural human perspective. Now, every day, the media is filled with stories of people who attempt to gain acceptance with acts of human righteousness. We see that a lot. See, it is only when men are willing to admit that there is no hope in human effort to be righteous that they are ready to accept God's remedy for sin. It is estimated, and I think it's pretty close, with a lot of these statistics that are taken about Christianity around the world, not only here in the United States, but I'm talking about the entire race, entire human race, that 90% of the human race is still on the losing side of this battle. Out of the 6 billion people on earth, there are probably around 700 million who have personally trusted Christ to be their righteous forgiver, or accepted Him as their personal Savior. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7:14, "Narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few of those that find it." Then He says, what? "Broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there will be many that enter into it." So there's something wrong there, isn't there? Narrow is the way, and few that find it. Broad is the way, and there will be many that go down that path, the path that Satan is leading, the broad way. And Paul shows us how Christ has laid a foundation for Christ's righteousness through His suffering and obedience. See, when you look at divine righteousness, it's imputed to us, meaning that it is put into our soul. I would say soul bank account. That's what it is, our soul bank account. So we have bank accounts, you put your money in there. But when you look at the righteousness that's imputed to us through Christ, meaning that it is put into our soul bank account in the person of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So to impute means to attribute to another or ascribe goodness and guiltlessness to someone. See, God enhances our sense of what I would call confidence, our hope, and power. See, He will never leave us, the Bible says, or nor will He ever forsake us. And we can say confidently, as Psalmist puts it in Psalms 54:4, "The Lord is my helper." And then Psalms 21:1 says, it says it this way, "Whom I shall be afraid." Whom shall I be afraid? That's what it says. Psalms 27:1, whom shall I be afraid? And then he goes on to say in the latter part of that verse, verse 1 of Psalms 27, the Lord is my strength and my life. In him I gain my strength. So he is my strength, and I will gain my strength along the way, continually, as the psalmist is saying. So if we ask the Lord, he is more than willing to help you and me to draw more on the rich reservoir of our international spiritual account. As I mentioned a while ago, our soul bank account for righteousness. That is how the Lord works in our lives. See, Paul, he teaches that righteousness of God is available to all who will believe it. See, regardless of a person's background, their way of life, or whatever a person's way of life that they chooses, their social standing, each individual must find their righteousness in Christ or spend eternity separated from Him. You see, the Lord gives us an opportunity. And see, He is always wanting to draw us closer to Him. And He'll draw closer to us. And there's no way anyone can reach heaven except through the righteousness of Christ. And in one verse in John 14, after Jesus told the disciples and those who were listening that he was going to go back to the Heavenly Father and that he was going to prepare a place for them, there where he would be, there we may be also. And just to slide in this verse to evangelize to his disciples and to actually to lift them up, to give them hope, to encourage them, to help them gain more trust in what he was telling them, he inserted this verse in verse 6, says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And then he says, as a reminder, no one comes to the Father except through me. Because no one outside of righteousness will be a part of the kingdom of God. We might think it's pretty comfortable living here on earth, right? At times, or most of the times we do. But who would want to spend eternity in a world of sin all their life? Where we don't know anything but just chaos, hardship, suffering, the entire life. Who would want to know that kind of life? And see, God provided a plan far in advance of our comprehension. Because God knows all things, right? And he knew, placing man here on earth, there may be some problems come along. But see, God's always got a plan B, plan C. He's always got something in the background to overcounter the hardships and the things in life and sin itself. And he destroyed that on the cross. So he is looking for us to shine through or to come forth through the righteousness of Christ in our life to overcome. See, he has overcome the world. And we as Christians are overcomers as well. But Paul, he states there that there are certain conditions to be met before one can receive Christ's righteousness. See, the Apostle Paul, he shows us that everyone must trust Christ as one's personal Savior to be the atonement or the payment for the past, for the present, and the future sins in this world. And see, this faith, it's not just an intellectual thing or an acknowledgement of the fact. See, this is reality. Instead, it is the expression of one's heart. It is the expression of our mind. It's the expression of a willing consent to be what God wants us to become in Christ Jesus. Just as simple as that. See, the essential point is that each soul must be brought into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I plead with you, when this invitation is given, don't even bat an eye. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul says, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord will come again. Just that quick. The twinkling of an eye. Before you can just bat your eye, he could be coming again. And if he comes again before this service is over, and you are a child of God, you know, guess what? We're not going up first, are we? The dead in Christ will rise first. Those who are alive and remain will be called up, will be the Lord. So all of those that's already gone on before us, their testimony to us is the be ready, be prepared. We never know from one day to the next when the Lord says, welcome home. Send the angels together, the elect, the Christians, to come home. And that's why I plead with any of you here today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if he calls on your heart today, don't let the Lord, as he passes down this aisle this morning, pass you by. It's that important. See, Christ's method alone will give true success in reaching people. Christ's method alone, and it's the only method, and it's a perfect method of salvation when he sent Jesus Christ, his Son. See, the Savior, he mingled with men as one who desired their good. Because, see, he see good in every one of us. See, he showed us compassion. He ministered to everyone's need, and he won their confidence. And he can win your confidence today because he loves you, he cares for you. And then, you know, as he was going about doing all the good deeds and all the good things that he accomplished here on earth, and when he was on the cross, he said, it's complete. But as he was selecting his disciples, as he was going along ministering to people, two words, follow me. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And one thing in the Great Commission, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You'll always be with me. Just like the thief on the cross that recognized his need for Christ. And that very moment, he knew he was a sinful man hanging there. He deserved to be there, that Christ didn't. He said, remember me when you're in paradise. And Christ said, today you shall be with me. Because he died that day as well. See how important it is to heed and accept the gospel to the calling when he calls, when the Holy Spirit calls. Don't let him pass you up this morning. I plead with you earnestly to answer his call. If our cell phone rings, our home phone rings, you'll dash across the house to answer that thing, won't you? Because you want to know who's on the other end. It's an important call. And when the Holy Spirit calls, man, answer that one. Don't even hesitate. because it's the best call you'll have, and it's the best decision you can ever make to be a part of the kingdom of God. Our Father God, we thank you this morning for your message of salvation. We thank you for loving us enough that you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. In a few minutes, we'll be taking the cup and the bread. That helps us to remember the sacrifice that you did make on Calvary. Help us, Lord, to remember that we have an important decision to make to follow you. And Lord, as we do follow you, help us to take the right steps, walking in your steps, the steps of righteousness. That, Lord, that our life will reflect what's inside, not what's on the outside. We praise you and we thank you for what you're going to do in this invitation today. And we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gives us the freedom from sin. In his name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 342, Just As I Am. Let's stand as we sing, Just As I Am.